And we start this hour with citizen initiatives and how they get on the ballot. It's been a big topic of debate at the state legislature this year. GOP lawmakers have been trying to change the process. Critics say those efforts would make it more difficult, if not impossible, for groups to put measures on the ballot. And tomorrow, House Committee will hear another bill dealing with this. Joining me to talk about what's in that measure and its prospects for passage is Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, good morning. What is in this most recent attempt by Republican lawmakers to change the citizen initiative process?
Well, it's basically the same theme, just a different methodology. It's very clear, particularly in the wake of voter approval of the higher minimum wage, that the business community hates the idea that people get to make their own laws and the fact that they can also be funded by out-of-state interests, etc. So this particular bill says you're going to have to gather signatures in all 15 counties. Right now, in order to get something on the ballot, statutory change, you need the signatures of 10% of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial election. That's about 150,000 people. What this would say is you'd have to extrapolate that out, and you'd need the signatures of 10% of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial election in each of the 30 legislative districts. So you'd have to have people on the ground in Yuma and Flagstaff and Havasu and Sierra Vista and Nogales to be able to get your measure on the ballot.
As opposed to just doing it in like the Phoenix area or Tucson where the population centers are.
Exactly. And so this throws another hurdle in the way. The more interesting part, though, is it creates a sort of veto power. So, for example, years ago we had a measure on the ballot to ban leg hold traps. The measure passed, but if it had to go on the ballot now, and let's assume you had a rural area in southeast Arizona where you had a lot of folks who liked the use of leg hold traps and they couldn't get the signatures there, the failure to get the signatures in one of 30 districts would prohibit the people in the other 29 districts from voting on that. And that's causing a certain amount of heartburn here.
There has been an effort, we referenced it earlier, to do this earlier this year. There was a proposal that was approved in committee and held yesterday in the Rules Committee. A lot of critics were saying this would basically kill the citizens' initiative process. How much different is that bill than what the House Appropriations Committee is going to hear tomorrow?
Well, there were several bills that were supposed to be up in Rules yesterday. They've been put off now till tomorrow. The question of whether it was a procedural issue to hold it or whether the fact that the audience was filled with protesters, you know, I'll leave that up to our listeners to decide. But some of these are just different ways of getting around the same thing. For example, one of the bills would ban out-of-state donations for initiatives. Now, mind you, it would not ban out-of-state donations to candidates for, oh, let's say, governor or something like that. There's another one that would ban the use of paid circulators. There's another one that would require strict compliance with every bit of the law on initiatives. So if, let's say, your margins were wrong, could throw out the whole initiative process. And then, of course, there are several bills which would allow lawmakers that if voters do manage to get something on the ballot and do manage to get it passed, would allow the legislature to overturn those, although those measures themselves would require voter approval to repeal what they call the Voter Protection Act.
You mentioned that the Rules Committee held a couple of those bills yesterday. They're on an agenda for tomorrow. Do you get the sense that there are the votes in, at least starting with the House, because that's where they are right now, to move these along?
I think within the House there are probably the votes, although there's several Republicans who do not like the whole idea of telling citizens, well, you're just too stupid to know what you're doing. There are people who believe that the initiative process has gotten out of hand. And part of the problem is, with the Voter Protection Act, if you pass something and it's dysfunctional or it has unintended consequences, the only way lawmakers can amend it is A, with a 3/4 vote of the House and Senate, and B, it has to further the purpose of the original measure. Anything beyond that, you actually have to take it back to the ballot. And there's some folks who are saying, oh, wait a second, maybe that's not exactly the way to go. Now, of course, the issue is they're trying to repeal the whole Voter Protection Act as opposed to, let's say, lowering the requirement to a 2/3 vote or something like that. And there are a lot of lawmakers who think maybe that's a better way to go than actually repealing the Voter Protection Act outright.
Plenty to keep track of. That's Howie Fisher of Capital Media Services. Howie, thanks as always.
We'll be watching to see what they're doing to the voters.